Hey, this is Libby spilling all the political tea, straight politics, no chaser. You know the go-to for all your political needs. Think the Bodega Boys, but political. It's millennial politics served piping hot. Let's start this week's episode on a high note, since last week's episode was a lot to digest. The Republican Party continues to implode to the benefit and dismay of us all. This week, the House voted to vacate Speaker Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana. The charge was led by Marjorie Taylor Greene. I still don't know how she got into Congress, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, the vote failed because Democrats voted on his side while making it clear they will not do so again, and they shouldn't. Hence, his seat isn't safe because another motion can be made to oust him. Please note, Johnson's predecessor, Kevin McCarthy, was also ousted with an even smaller majority by Republicans with help from Democrats. All I have to say is this never happened to Nancy. I think Democrats saved Johnson because they did not want Jeffries to be Speaker under contentious and chaos. Maybe they wanted him to make history without the negative connotations, and I concur, but maybe we should just take it how we can. I love that this happened because the door for Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker is getting wider and wider, and he would be the first Black Speaker of the House in history. Nancy keeps her house in order, so the Republicans continuing to oust their speakers is aligning perfectly with the Democratic agenda to get Hakeem in that Speaker chair. So thank you very, very much, Marjorie. This week, Hakeem also did a 60-minute interview, and it was really, really good. Watch it for yourself. During the interview, he said, if Roe versus Wade can fall, then anything can fall. He said, and I quote, Social Security can fall, Medicare can fall, voting rights can fall, and God help us all, but democracy itself can fall. If Roe v. Wade can fall, then anything can fall. The man did not lie. This election is pivotal. Especially since some believe America is in its penultimate stage, the second to last phase before an empire falls. Thus, will America continue to move in a positive direction, or will it begin to embark on the journey of its demise? What kills me is folks are out here having kids, and the country may not even be here for them. Think critically and really study history. America is 246 years old. On average, empires like the Roman, British, and Babylonian empires fell after 250 years. Do with that information as you please. Add that to the fact that reading scores have plummeted since the pandemic. It's a recipe for disaster. Fix it, Jesus. America was already reading at an eighth grade level when I graduated high school 12 years ago. What is lower than eighth grade? Exactly. Didn't I say in the last episode we needed another pandemic? Well, there is a new coronavirus variant called Flirt. You can't make this shit up. The new strand is on the rise in the US. And I said last week, shut this shit down, please and thank you. People do not deserve to be outside. Yes, I said it. I also said last week the bird flu was on the rise in this country as well. And now the CDC has advised farmers to wear masks to prevent them from getting and spreading the disease. Yeah, shut the country down. Thanks. Governor Kathy Hochul, yes, my governor, Lord have mercy, said some crazy shit this week. I just have to, like, there's no other way to not, like, I have to be blunt about this. It's not even a political gaffe. This was the most idiotic and out of touch shit a politician could say. She said while on stage at a business conference in California this week that, and I quote, right now we have young Black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things, end quote. What the fuck are you talking about? It's not funny, but you just have to laugh or you really lose your mind. As someone born and raised in the Bronx, I am flabbergasted. That statement was bonkers. It wasn't even a gaffe. It was ludicrous. And she needs to get in touch with the residents of her state, starting with the Bronx, the poorest congressional district in the country, or don't run for re-election. There are literally touchscreen computers on the streets of the Bronx that the city implemented to advertise things, show maps, and upcoming events. Children across the Bronx see them and play with them every day. What are you talking about? She later said that she misspoke and regretted it, but that's bullshit too. Do better. Now, this is my favorite part of the episode, which I call BFFR, like make it make sense. I think it's self-explanatory. Former presidential hopeful Vivek did an interview with Ann Coulter, the most racist white woman in America, and she basically called him the N-word to his face. I really had to laugh. She said, and I love this quote, "I wouldn't vote for you because you're Indian," end quote. Like, you either think you are white or equal to white people, a white adjacent, I don't know. But one thing about the chalk people, they will always show you that you are not one of them. Sir, you are darker than me. And my parents are African American. I love it. Y'all will learn eventually. We have a caste system here too. On a side note, Trump said that he would not consider South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as running mate. Shocker. Yeah, her and Vivek are in the same boat. They are having a lifelong identity crisis and need psychiatric help for that. Good luck with that. I hope that is a reminder for you and those of the same or similar races, other minorities. No matter what prestigious institution you attend, how much money and wealth you acquire, notoriety you obtain, no matter how much you shuck and jive for the palm-colored people, you will never, ever be one of them. Somebody CC Clarence Thomas. Honorable mention, Stormy Daniels. I never thought I would say thank you to Stormy Daniels. That was not on my 2024 bingo card, but here we are. I also never thought I would get into a four-hour argument with a drug addict. But that happened on Friday, too. Anyway, I digress. Stormy Daniels took the stand this week and really hit Trump where it hurts. Not in his pockets this time, but his ego. In short, she said he was not well endowed, that he compared her looks to his daughter before they had sexual intercourse, and that he did not use protection during said intercourse while Melania was at home with their newborn baby. Yeah, that was a lot. Apparently, Trump will not take the stand. As a recent law school graduate, that is a bad and good thing. Good because he would further incriminate himself, but it is bad because you can't dispute the allegations yourself, which makes you look guilty and like your lawyers don't trust you to speak. Follow the hush money trial, people. It is important and comical. On a side note, Trump's son Barron was supposed to be a delegate at the Republican convention this summer, but he pulled out. Someone said Trump didn't ask Melania for permission, and when she found out, she nixed it. But Barron is 18. At 18, you make your own decisions. And I think Barron doesn't want to do it to be petty because Trump is missing his high school graduation to campaign in Minnesota, despite asking the judge for permission to miss court to attend the graduation, which is perjury. Trump has not only perjured himself to the judge, he also violated the gag order 10 times. If anyone else did this, let's just say Barack Obama did this, they would put him under the jail. Trump needs to be locked up. Lock him up. Isn't that what he said to Hillary in 2016? Exactly. Thank you for listening to my political pontification. If you liked it, loved it, or hated it, tell a friend to tell a friend. And please check out my website, The Political Tea. You can generously donate to my chai latte habit on it.